When journalist Anne Connolly began her investigation into elder abuse in nursing homes, the results were explosive, some of which are still coming to the fore. You probably saw her investigation for Four Corners, which prompted the Prime Minister to announce a royal commission into the aged care sector. Well, the story continues. It's the aged care scandal no one is talking about. Sexual assault is on the rise in nursing homes across Australia. Anne Connolly continues her investigation for Background Briefing. She joins me now. Anne, welcome.
Thank you.
You've been working on a case just outside Melbourne. Well, what can you tell us about what you found out?
This is a case that happened last year. It's a woman by the name of Jessie Jackson. She has severe dementia and she was sexually assaulted by another resident there who didn't have dementia. He knew quite what he was doing. That assault was captured on CCTV and it was also witnessed or interrupted by a member of staff. So it was a situation where this was a case that actually went to court, which is quite unusual for sexual assaults in aged care, and he was convicted.
So we have a grab of Jessie's son, Gordon, explaining what happened next. Here it is.
What happens?
Mum was obviously in the corner of the which we now know as the Sapphire Room. She's sitting there. The perpetrator wheels himself in because he's wheelchair bound, goes over to Mum, puts a blanket over her legs. Then he assaults her by putting his hand down the front of her pants. We don't know how far that got because we just honestly don't know.
How did they find out about this assault?
Well, as I said, it was really fortunate. I mean, this woman was in the room by herself. It was a locked dementia unit, and that's another issue that's a real problem because this man managed to get in there. He didn't have dementia. It was interrupted by a member of staff who walked in, saw what was happening, went over because she couldn't quite believe it, and then pressed the duress button. So stopped him. He claimed that he was just putting a blanket over her, but he later admitted to a doctor and to the police that he was actually sexually assaulting her.
What was the response from the nursing home?
Well, this is a real problem that the family has because after he was charged, they discovered that there had been reports about this particular resident already, that he was, that staff were on alert. He'd been sexually harassing staff. He wanted to put pornographic movies on in the lounge room there, and that he had made some inappropriate sexual behaviour towards two other female residents also with cognitive dysfunction. So the family is very concerned because they say no one at that nursing home was told about it. Bupa didn't inform families that they feel that they should have known that this was a man that they needed to look out for, and they didn't know that.
What sort of procedures are in place for nursing homes when it comes to these kinds of incidents of abuse? Is there a general course of action they know to take? I mean, how seriously do they take it? Because there are certain stigmas, aren't there, that people think, oh, no one would do this to elderly people. There are these ideas we have which are clearly not founded in reality.
Well, that's exactly right. And for the Background Briefing story, we actually speak to an academic who says, you know, why would a 33-year-old man who's married and has children attack an 80-year-old woman? But as she said, it's about power and it's about opportunity. And it's the same sort of thing that happens in child sexual abuse cases. What the procedure is supposed to be is that the home is supposed to tell the Department of Health. So the Department of Health is supposed to have a record of all of those sexual assaults. And in fact, there's been a really big increase in the last year in sexual assaults reported to the Department of Health. They're up by 40% over the last year. Now, the thing that's interesting about that is that only includes staff and residents who are of sound mind. That doesn't include anybody who has a cognitive dysfunction or dementia, say. And what the academics that we've spoken to said is they would far outstrip any sexual assaults being done by staff or other residents there, people with dementia, because they lose that inhibition and so forth. And the real problem, of course, is that, well, one, they don't have to report it. And the other problem that we've discovered is that even people, residents there who don't have dementia and have actually reported it, they end up being ignored as well because it's easy to do so.
And in this case, it's resident on resident. I mean, do we have any idea of where the abuse is coming from, what the statistics might be? I know it's a very underreported area.
Well, this is also really interesting because that's another big complaint from people who are trying to find out and trying to prevent it by educating staff. So the Department of Health requires all the nursing homes to report any sexual assaults, but actually they don't even break it down. I mean, I got in contact with the Department of Health and the Minister and many other authorities trying to find out what percentage of staff, what percentage of residents, what sort of homes, who are the victims, day or night, you know, and this is what academics want to know so that they can be educating staff. They don't break down those figures, and that's a really big problem because it appears that all they're doing is just taking the numbers. And providers quite rightly say, well, why should we report more incidents if the department isn't actually doing anything with it? So there's a real problem that the figures are being collected, no one's analysing them. Now the government is saying, let's report all of them, including people with dementia, and nursing homes are saying, why should we do that? Because you don't do anything with it anyway.
So now that we know, or at least through your story, we're learning more about this, do you think it's cultural factors, the way we view and regard the elderly, that play into the conditions that allow this kind of abuse to happen?
I think it's absolutely. I think that from the people that we spoke to as well, they just found that because we spoke to a number of families whose relatives had been sexually abused, they just talked about the fact that the nursing home providers just want to close down the topic of conversation. They do not want publicity on this, and you can understand why. I mean, I think, you know, anybody sensible does not want to scare people off and say that sexual abuse is happening in aged care, but it actually is happening. And the problem is that no one's reporting about it, or no one is actually taking the figures and saying, what can we glean from this and how can we stop it from actually happening? But, I mean, one of the things that I thought was really interesting that someone mentioned to me, and I've thought about this, is if you're a victim of child sexual abuse, you hopefully one day have your day in court, or you can go public with it and you can maybe get some sense of justice. For these people, they are at the end of their lives. It's a shocking thing to happen to them, to not even be recognised, to not even have an opportunity to tell your story or to have any justice is shocking. And what I'm finding is it's the families that are left as the victims, and they just have nowhere to turn. So, I mean, it really is a case of the government's been making a lot of noise lately about where we're having an elder abuse hotline and we're looking at making these changes so we report more of this abuse, but actually they're not doing anything to try to prevent it. So I think that hopefully the Royal Commission will get into this particular subject and say, how can this be fixed?
Your Four Corners report sparked a Royal Commission. Do you think it will be adequate in uncovering the depth of the problems we're beginning to see in aged care? I know there's been issues with submissions and the numbers of people coming forward.
I mean, I think that there are so many issues here, and in reality, the government put together a terms of reference that were really wide, and they take into account home care and so many other factors. And in reality, although at the time I thought, well, you know, really it should be a focus on residential aged care, what's happening in home care is also incredible because of the number of people who are actually providers going in and ripping money out of that system without anybody looking at it. I mean, the Royal Commission delved into that at their last hearing just recently, and that was fascinating. It's a shame it didn't get the sort of attention that it really deserves, and I'm hoping that when the Royal Commission starts again in Sydney later next month that will happen, although the campaign will probably be in full swing, so who's to say? But I think there are just so many problems in the sector that it has to improve somehow, because even just by shedding a light on it and letting people actually see that the people who've been in the industry for such a long time, they are sort of immune to the actual problems. The senior bureaucrats and the people on boards of aged care providers. And I think what the council assisting is getting to the bottom of is just their blindness to the reality of what those decisions are doing to people on the ground, which is not enough staff, staff aren't trained, there's no register of staff. Assaults like this can happen and there's no record and those people can just move on to the next home. So I think that no doubt whatever they do, it has to be a vast improvement on what is in place right now.
Anne Connolly, congratulations on all your very hard work and thank you so much for joining us on Drive.
Thanks, Patricia.
Anne Connolly is an investigative journalist at the ABC, and you're listening to the ABC. This is RN Drive, and you can hear more of the story by subscribing to the Background Briefing podcast on the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcast. You just search Background Briefing. Also, RN Drive. We are so accessible, I cannot tell you. Just a simple search, and it's worth your time, believe me. The stuff I listen to all day before I come and speak to you all day. That's what I do. Just listen, like a crazy person, just listening all the time. And if this story has brought up any issues for you, there are people that you can always talk to. There's Lifeline 131114. That's 131114. This is RN Drive.